following is a presentation of Genoa. For more information, find us on the web at genoachurch.org.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Good Friday service online. We are doing new things, just like you're doing new things as a church family, and we're very excited that we could have the staff come together this evening so we could share this special time with you. We're so excited to see how God has been honoring and blessing our church fellowship. I can hardly wait for the time for us to be back together in the building, and I know that's true for you as well. But I'm very grateful that we live in a time where there's technology, where we have the ability to communicate over video, over audio, and at least have some semblance of connection during this time. And this evening, we as a church family are going to share in the Lord's Supper together. If you have not already gotten your elements together in the living room or wherever you're at, I would encourage you to take just a moment right now and go get a cracker, get a little cup of juice. If you don't have cracker, a piece of bread, some water. It's just symbolic. I know it's not what you would normally have when we're together here, but it represents the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful time. Before we really start, I want to tell you about a time where I had to take a piece of cracker and water for the Lord's Supper. I'd been traveling doing itinerant ministry for about 36 months. And for some reason, every weekend I was in a different church, and never was it a church where they participated in the Lord's Supper on the particular Sunday I was there. And one Sunday morning, which was an Easter Sunday morning, I was at home by myself, and Jack Hayford was speaking from Church on the Way in Van Nuys, California on television. And he was encouraging people at home to participate in communion with his church. And he said, even if you don't have the juice or the wafer, go get a cracker and some water and participate together. And I very quickly did that. And though for a moment I thought it was silly, it was one of the most spiritual times I've ever experienced to be able to stop and do what I wished I'd have been able to do many weeks before, but was so busy, had not taken time to reflect on the death, the sacrifice, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that tonight will be that special for you as well. And so you can see on the platform, we have part of our staff with us, and we're each going to participate in some way as we go along. But I'd like to open up by Scott Derrick, if you would come and just open us up in a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we just come together this evening, and Lord, I know there's going to be people watching from all around, and Lord, we just give you thanks and praise, God, for what you're doing during this extremely difficult time, and God, how you have showed up over the past couple of weeks, and we have seen you move and just shake things up around just in our parking lot and in the community, and Lord, we're so thankful that though things are changing radically around us, that you are always the same, that we can count on you, that you are the foundation that we can stand on. And Lord, as we get ready to take communion today, God, I just pray that we would recognize this solemn and humble time and just give you thanks for all that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we just give you praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Scott. Guys, you'd be so proud to see how our staff has been able to work during this time. I think we're busier now sometimes than we were before the coronavirus came along. And it's amazing how much we've been able to accomplish. By way of prayer request, remember our church family, we still have people in the hospital for things other than COVID-19. There are still broken bones. There are still operations that are happening. And so pray for all of our folks that way. Pray for our doctors and our nurses. And pray for all of our folks that are working in grocery stores and restaurants and serving every way that we possibly can. I wish we had time to take prayer requests right now. We really don't. But what I would like you to do is send those prayer requests to us so we can share them with each other. If you just go send me an email to pastorfrank@genoachurch.org, we will get those, and then as a staff, we can share them together. Well, for the business at hand, let's talk about Good Friday. Let's talk about this entire season. And guys, what I'd like you to do is just share with us, with each other, maybe a thought about this special time of year that you can share and reflect with us, maybe a special family memory at this time. You know, the joke about Easter season is the little boy is in Sunday school class, and the teacher says, do you boys and girls know what today is, this weekend is? And the little boy said, it's Easter, it's Easter. And she said, yes, it is. Do you know what that means? And he said, oh, yes, I know what that means. And what is it? It said, Jesus came out of the grave. And she said, that's right, Johnny. And she was getting ready to move forward, and he said, and if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 6 more weeks. So sometimes we have the wrong interpretation of what Easter is all about. But let's take a minute. Just anyone jump in and share. What's Easter all about, Passover all about, communion all about for us as the body of Christ?
So I have a thought about communion I'd love to share with you for
yeah.
a moment. Of course, you guys know that I really like food a whole lot.
We all do.
And amen. And I'm so passionate about that that I get the digital dispatch on my phone every day. And on Thursdays, they have recipes and they have new restaurants. And I screenshot them. And right now, of course, I can't use the restaurants. But I've been testing out all those recipes on my wife, Marcella. And so you want to pray for her right now. And I thought about food for a minute, and interestingly, it's food that God used, that Jesus used to introduce the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup. And as we take that food, we're reminded of his death and his sacrifice for us. And I thought, why did he use food to do that? And then I remembered that originally it was food that got us in this mess that we're in already.
Wow.
We go all the way back to the garden.
That's a good thought.
And it was the forbidden fruit that was eaten through disobedience that brought sin and death into the world. But praise God, he has redeemed the food.
Amen.
And we go to the Passover, and as that Seder meal was introduced, that reminds of the captives being set free.
Yeah.
And then Jesus using that to institute the Lord's Supper up in the upper room. And in the context of that, he introduces, again, the bread, his broken body, and the cup, his shed blood, that he says will remind us that we've been redeemed, that we've been bought with a price, that we can have that relationship with him forever and ever.
Amen.
And because of that, that's reason to celebrate.
Amen.
So that's
very
my
good
thought.
That's great. All right, top that one, gentlemen.
I'll go. When I think about Good Friday, of course, I think about the cross. And in my head, at first, I thought of it as this nice, beautiful, strong man sitting on the cross that's there. And sometimes we forget how gruesome and horrible it was. And I'm a visual learner, and so I like to see things. And I remember the first time the cross really became real to me was probably the late 80s, early 90s. And it was a little video our youth pastor showed by Michael W. Smith. And it was called Secret Ambition. And it went through Jesus' teaching. And then it got to the point where it showed him on the cross. And I think Mel Gibson did a video, a movie a few years ago. And if you don't have 2 hours to watch that, this little video just goes through the gruesome, ugly, nasty, painful, horrible part of the cross. Sometimes we forget when we have our juice and our bread. And so that became real for me. And then as we read through Scripture, we see that Jesus says, hey, if there's any other way that this can pass from me, please let this pass, God. And then the disciples and the others he's trained for his 3.5 years of ministry are there, and all of a sudden they're gone. You know, think the loneliness and isolation he would have felt. When he gets on the cross and he cries out to the Lord and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? When our sins, the sins of the entire universe, are placed upon Jesus Christ at that moment, what was going through his mind?
Mm-hmm.
I know what was going through the mind of those around him. It was the cross. It was trying to make the greatest single act of hatred this world has ever seen. And Jesus, through the cross, made it the greatest single act of love this world has ever seen. We talk about Jesus and his ministry. He had power over nature. He had power over sickness. He had power to bring people back from the dead. And we're all smarter enough to know that there's not three nails that could have kept him on the cross.
Yeah.
It was love. Love for you and love for me. And that visual video just reminds me, it's not the juice, it's not the bread. There was a real Savior that came to this earth, that lived a real life.
Yes.
Because I've messed up, and he wanted a relationship with me.
Amen.
And that's what the cross means to me.
That is awesome.
Communion for me has always had an element of personal revival involved as I think about the price that was paid, and Christ calls us to remember. As I do this, remember, and as you do communion, remember. And so I'm always struck with the reality then of my sinful condition as I think about what Jesus went through, the love that he displayed, was because of my sin. And so the Lord's Supper is a powerful time to take stock of my relationship with the Lord and then confess sin. And that revival is important to me, and the Lord's Supper has been a big key part of making sure that that continues to happen in my life.
That's when it gets really personal. It's when you know, it's not that he died for the whole world. God loves everyone, but I'm his favorite. You know, he cared that much for me. That's great.
Yeah, I think communion for me is, there's six words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And I know sometimes I forget about those six words. I focus on the bread. I focus on the cup. And when we do communion and we do focus on that remembrance of Jesus Christ, it reminds ourselves, and I think it tells Satan, that, hey, we were not redeemed by perishable things. We were not redeemed by gold, by money, by a title, by merit, by what we did on this. We were redeemed by the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And in times like these, especially when we're struggling with trial, it's a good reminder that we can tell Satan, hey, you can't take this from me.
Amen.
You know, I was redeemed through the blood and body of
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's great.
Yeah, I think that this time right now, I was thinking about this earlier, that it feels pretty similar to kind of what we're going through with the coronavirus and all that stuff, where when you imagine what happened right after Jesus died, you have the disciples who have no idea what's going on, right? I mean, they imagine what those 3 days are like when your Savior has been persecuted and crucified on this cross. You don't know what that looks like. You're in hiding. They're stuck in their homes. They just don't know what's going on, right? And then Easter happens. And I always tell my kids this. I say, you know, Christmas is great. I love Christmas. It's when Jesus was born. That's awesome. But Easter is what makes Jesus Jesus. You know, this is the moment where he conquers death, right? He rises from the dead. And that is what made his sacrifice all that. I mean, anybody could have died on a cross, right? But Jesus died on the cross and rose again and conquered sin. And so I, you know, during this time, I kind of look at Easter as a, you know, especially the days leading up to it, we're like, we're almost there. And like I said, with what we're going through now, I'm trying to have that same attitude, you know, where COVID-19's happening. I'm like, all right, eventually we're going to get out of this, you know, but what's most important is that we keep our eyes on Jesus and remember that I don't think it's an accident that Easter is happening right now. I think it's a pretty cool thing that we get to focus on the most important thing
That's
that Jesus
good.
Did, so.
That's good. All right. Who else hasn't chimed in? Is that it? So I'm going to do what I do in testimony meetings. I'm going to count to three, and if no one speaks, we're going to move on. So one, two, two and a half, and three. Well, guys, you each have memories and testimonies about what this Easter season means. But there's nothing more beautiful to do than to sing praises to God. So we're going to share some music right now. And so, guys, if you'll come and lead us together at home, you'll know these. The lyrics will be on the screen. And you just sing along with us if you would.
On a hill far away. And best for
at last I lay down. I will cling to the already cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen, amen, amen.
And it's because of that cross that led to Christ's death, that led to his resurrection, which now lets us know that we can face tomorrow because he rose from that grave. Amen.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Is there to prove my Savior lives? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
uncertain days, because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights, the glory, and I know my Savior lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone.
Guys, we're really good. I think, Carrie, you should consider making us your new praise team. All of us, collectively. This is good. Even though I should tell you at home, in full disclosure, I was requested by the entire staff just to move my lips and not sing during that time. But I caught myself singing a couple times going through it, so I apologize if I messed you guys up. Hey, before we go on, I want to take just a moment, just like any good show that you get to watch at home, there's a commercial. And so this infomercial for just a second is regarding this weekend celebration services. Guys, God has been so good to us as a church. When everyone seemed like there's no way you can get together, you can minister to people, then God all of a sudden says, I know this is coming. I want my word to go out. Do you know more people are watching church in America than attend church on a regular basis? There's such a hunger for the things of God, things that are going on in people's lives. I'm helping a few small churches right now get online and figuring out Facebook, and they're amazed. They run 40 in attendance, and they have 150 people watching their services now. And some that are live streaming are reaching, and they're getting feedback from out of state. And I think it's just a perfect storm or a perfect culmination of God drawing people to Himself. This is a great opportunity for revival. And I want to tell you that even though we're not able to meet in a building, guys at home, if you would call people up and say, if you go on our website, if you go on our Facebook, you can watch the services. If you only have a radio, on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday at 11 o'clock, go to 880 a.m., and our church will be broadcasting in 80 counties of the state of Ohio. People are more open to spiritual things, I understand, around Easter and Christmas than any other time. You know, I almost think the full Easter story is told with the term Christer. It culminates in Easter, but we need Jesus to come. Christmas and Easter is the full story, the full package coming together. And so please do that. But if you could come be with us, boy, I would be so happy to have you come to the drive-in. You would be able to come in about six different services. Saturday afternoon, I've already checked, the weather is going to be great. And there's a 4 o'clock and a 6 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The services won't be long, but they'll be worth every effort of being here. It's going to be a fabulous time, special music, Word of God. We want you to come. Over the last few weeks, we've seen our drive-in services grow from 600 people to this last week, well over 1,300 people in attendance in the parking lot. And it's just been an amazing testimony of the goodness of God. So would you make every effort to come this weekend? As many of you as possible that could come on Saturday, that would be great help. Saturday at 4 o'clock, Saturday at 6 o'clock. And then Sunday morning, the closest to a sunrise service we can get you is 7:30 in the morning. And if you can come to that service, it also would be a great help, because some of the community that doesn't know about that will probably plan to come at either 11 o'clock or 12:30, sometime in that range. So 7:30. All the services are identical. We want you to be here and share with us. But it's 7:30, 9:15, right? 11 o'clock and 12:30. And so it's the marathon weekend. Pray for us that all the staff will have strength to get through this. But guys, trust me when I tell you this, we are pumped. We are so excited for the opportunity to get to preach God's word. You wouldn't believe the emails and the feedback we're getting from people. And so just pray that lives will be changed. People will come to Jesus Christ. I shared this last week in the outdoor service, but 2 weeks ago, we were emptying the parking lot, and the staff stands out in the parking lot saying goodbye to everyone we can to, thanking you for coming. But this car comes up. They roll down the window, and this little boy said, "My name is Aiden. I'm 11 years old, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ today." And I've thought from then until now, all the work, guys, that we've done on outdoor services has been worth it for Aiden. I'm calling it Aiden Services, Aiden's parking lot, you know. And there are many more Aidens out there to hear the good news. Well, to the business at hand, I want to talk to you for just a moment about communion and the Lord's Supper. And to do that, would you please look with me in your Bibles at home in Matthew's Gospel? We're going to look at Matthew chapter 26 just for a couple moments and break a couple verses down. And there's a couple points that I want you to remember to take home this evening in your mind when you get in bed tonight, when you wake up tomorrow morning. Always remember this. And number one thing I want you to remember is never forget the love that the Lord has for us, for each of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. And there are times when we're going through a difficulty in life, and like with this special time in our society, that we might forget that God's there, that we could begin to question the goodness of God. But on a regular basis, remind yourself of the goodness of God. And the Bible tells us that we're to do that. The Bible tells us that we're to remind ourselves, that we're to think on things, the good things, the righteous things, and that God loves us is very important, and we understand that. There was a show that was out a few years ago, and I'd never heard of it. And Matt Clark, you're the one that introduced it to me. It was called 24. It was the life of Jack Bauer. Recently, Pastor Matt's doing this YouTube channel called, if you go to YouTube and type in Genoa Students, a couple of things. I'm going to do a little self-plugging here. My wife and I this week shared our testimony of how we came to Jesus Christ on that. And so if you go to YouTube, type in Genoa Students, you can see a 20-minute testimony of Deborah and I sharing, and you'll get to see Deborah cry. I made Deborah cry in this testimony, so that's worth watching. But the one before us, the week before, Pastor Matt Clark had his children on the video. Mara and Jack were on it, and they were discussing movies. And then Mara said something that I think took her dad by surprise, that he never thought he would hear from the mouth of his own child, much less anyone else. She said, "Daddy, you don't know that much about movies." And Matt said, "Now you have offended me." He said, "There's one thing I know, and it's shows and movies." And so a few years ago, Matt introduced me to this show, 24. And it's a show you can become addicted to. There was this guy named Jack Bauer, and he was like this super sleuth agent. But the entire show is based on a 24-hour period and how things change drastically and move fast. Well, that's what I thought of on the Last Supper that the disciples had with Jesus Christ, how quickly things happened. This morning I read through all the Gospels and reading about the Last Supper and the time the disciples had with the Lord, and things were moving very rapidly. But it began in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 26. I just want to pick up, if you would, start reading with me in verse 17 in just a couple verses. Let me have those on the screen if you would. It says, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." Now, I know for everyone on this stage, we're pretty familiar with what the Passover is and the history of the Passover, but it's absolutely an amazing thing when you think about the goodness of God, how much He cares for us, even before Jesus came, the grace that was shown in something called the Passover. The Passover was peculiar to Jewish people. It was at a time when the children of Israel were going to leave Egypt out of captivity. They were going to go to the Promised Land. But on that last time before they were to go, their enemy wouldn't let them go. And so God sends these plagues along. And then finally, the death of the firstborn. And the children of Israel were told that you must put blood over the lentils. It's through the blood that you'll be spared. And you're to take a perfect lamb and sacrifice that and put the blood over the doorpost. And then the death angel will pass over you when you do that. And this word Passover, that's where it comes from. That's a derivative, Passover. And for 1,500 years after that, the Passover was celebrated every single year. It would be analogous to our Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving, there are two things that we do. Everyone gets together for a meal, and we thank God for our country. Well, that's what Passover is for them. The Seder thing that Joe was talking about would be this celebration of unleavened bread, usually lamb, and some other elements that would be there. And a Seder meal would be prepared, and people would celebrate what happened back in Egypt at the time of Jesus, 1,500 years before that. Now, make no mistake about it, the Passover historically is very, very important in the Jewish and the Christian calendar. Do you know Passover predates the temple in the Old Testament? Passover predates the tabernacle. It predates the giving of the Ten Commandments. It is the very first commandment with the promise that we find in the Bible from God to the people of Israel. And Passover was beginning to be celebrated. And so Jesus said, they said, where will we get a place for you to celebrate the unleavened bread, the feast of the Passover? And so Jesus says, you go to a place and prepare to do that, and they'll share it with you. So the second thing that I want you to realize when we get ready to talk about this is that we should never forget the life Christ gave himself for us. That was the ultimate Passover. When you look at Scripture and it talks about it, notice with me in verse 20 if you're at home, and you can see that in your Bible. It says, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. They're at the table. They're getting ready to have Passover. And you understand the elements would be there just like it would be historically for that 1,500 years. But this is where it's different this time. This is the last Passover. Never again would it be biblically correct for followers of God through Jesus Christ to default to the old law, to default to the Seder meal, because Jesus is becoming the Passover for all of us. And because of that, this night they're sitting there, they're going through the process, they're probably having eaten some unleavened bread, they've probably had some lamb, and they're getting ready to take the cup, which would be the cup of wine, which would be the order of things that would be done in a Seder meal. And all of a sudden, Jesus changes that up. And notice what it says in verse 26. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it. That's a good point, parents, for you to always remind your kids to pray. Jesus blessed it. He prayed, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, I want you to take this and eat it. This is my body. So guys, if you would just take the bread and hold it for a second, each of us and parents at home and families at home, we're not using prepackaged communion cups. When Joe got everything together for us, we tried to do it as much as like you guys would do it. We have bottles of water representing the blood of Jesus. We have orange juice. We have grape juice. We have plastic cups, and we have some kind of crust bread here, a loaf of bread that was cut up. And so we're just working with what we have symbolically to share, just like you're sharing. And Jesus is going to tell them the importance of the bread. Well, the bread represents his body. Sometimes you hear this teaching that, well, it's the actual body of Jesus Christ. Well, it isn't. Jesus hadn't died yet. He was sitting at the table with them when he said, "This is my body." His body was in his chair, and everyone else's body was with them. It's a symbol of it. It's like, for those of you that are watching, when maybe you guys are out in public and you're introducing someone to your wife who isn't with you, and you say, "Well, here, let me introduce you and show you my wife," and you take out your phone and you show them a picture of your wife. Well, that's not your wife. That's just a photo. That's an image of your wife. And when you say it's the body, that's just an image of the body of Jesus Christ, of what it's about. But it was going to represent the greatest sacrifice the world would ever see. What Jesus was giving them privy to was, just in a little while, my body is going to be broken. And boy, was it broken. The lashes, the beating, the crucifixion on the cross that Scott spoke about a few minutes ago, the pain that he went through. But he said, "This isn't going to be done symbolically from heaven. I'm actually here, and I'm going to give up my body to go on that cross just for you." And so when you take the bread, it's more than just some flour put together and held together. It represents the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made on this planet for our sins. So would you take the bread and just eat it? And so in the process of that, Jesus keeps talking to them. And in verse 27, he says this, "Then he took the cup." And you know what he did? He gave thanks again. Jesus was a praying dude, right? He prayed for the bread. He praised for the cup. And he gave it to them. And that cup, again, represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's not the actual blood. Jesus wasn't sitting in a chair bleeding to death when he was saying, "Take this from me." But it's a picture of what he would soon sacrifice. You know, there are only two things, two commands, ordinances the church has been given. The testimony that you're a follower of Jesus Christ after your salvation. One of those is baptism. That when you're saved, the Lord says, "Be baptized." It's an outward profession of an inner work that's been done. But the second thing that he said was, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me." And as oft as you take it, whether it's one time a year, 12 times a year, 52 times a year, whenever you do it in remembrance of him. And when you do that and you look back, and it's good to look back, as you look back, that's why the Lord knows we don't have great memories. He tells us certain things. Build a memorial. You see that over and over in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, this is the only memorial we're instructed to keep. It keeps driving us back to the cross. It's like that famous coach, Vince Lombardi, when his team kind of messed up one day, and he said, "Guys, we need to get back to the basics." And he held up a football, and he said, "This is a football." And when we go back to take communion, this is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Don't ever get beyond this. Don't ever add anything to this. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his sacrifice. He gave his body. He's giving his blood. And he said, "When you do it, when you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. You may take the cup." And then as they had that and they're realizing that maybe for the first time that Jesus is leaving them. If you study the Gospels, he's been preparing them for this a long time, this very night. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and a parallel to this is in Matthew's Gospel as well. And there's a point that they're sitting up on a mountainside, and actually I think they're in Caesarea Philippi in the northern part of Israel when this happens. And Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some think you're Isaiah the prophet or John the Baptist, one risen from the dead." And then you remember it was Peter that said, "But you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the very next verse, after we get through the Peter saying that, the Bible says, Then Jesus began to reveal to them that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And then Peter pipes up again, "Far be it from you, Lord." And then the Lord said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus is trying to prepare them. There's two or three other places where he does that. But on this night, when they drink the cup in Passover, they realize what it means to drink the cup that we just drank. It means that innocent lambs have been slaughtered. The population of Jerusalem would swell to 250,000 people, I understand. 600 priests over a period of about 8 hours would practice a slaughterhouse that would cause the Kidron River to flow in total red blood for up to 12 hours even after they were finished. It was a very graphic scene when Jesus said, "This is my blood." And so he told them to do that. And in a moment, it's going to say they sang a song. And then Jesus went from there and went over across the Kidron into the garden to pray. And Carrie and Angela, I don't know if you guys remember, but we did that very thing when we were in Israel. We made our way across the Kidron. We went over in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I had the privilege of reading scripture and praying at that point in time with all of us that were there. And it was a very emotional time. It was emotional for Jesus when he was there in that garden praying. And you think when you read, especially John's gospel, from John chapter 14 all the way through John 17, the intercessory prayer, the promise prayer, everything that he says during this weekend, please take time to read those three chapters. It is so inspiring to see that everything that Jesus promised, he fulfilled, he did it. And in the midst of this supper, he dealt with the ugly side too. Everybody's getting ready to worship. And he looks over and he says, "Hey, Judas, what you've got to do, go do it quickly. Let's get this over with." And Judas goes out, prepares to betray Jesus. You know what happened? They get him on that Thursday evening. They put him through 6 mock trials that were all illegitimate in and of themselves. They take him and they beat him and they scourge him. They force him to carry his own instrument of crucifixion up the hill, the cross. And being depleted of blood and energy, they put him up there and they put those 3 nails through his body. And the last words that Jesus could very difficult, in a difficult way, get out, because understand his lungs were in almost a frozen state. The only way he could breathe, the only way he could utter anything, was to lift up on his ankles in excruciating pain. And when he did that, he said things like, "Father, forgive them." I mean, who does something like that? He reaches up, "I thirst." The human part of him is coming out. He looks at John and says, "Behold thy mother, behold thy son." He reaches up one more time. He says, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But 3 days later, everyone say amen. Jesus came out of that grave victorious so that we can have the hope that we have today. Our choir recently sang a song that I want you to hear right now about the victory in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 30, after they finished the dinner, they sang a hymn and went out. Well, to spare you, we're not going to sing another hymn, but I want you to listen to this incredible song that our choir shared not long ago. Thank you. Well, families at home and every person that's part of the Genoa family, thank you so very much for being with us this evening. If you haven't attended one of our worship services yet, even if you can't come now, we look forward to the day that we'll be able to meet you right here at our church. But thanks for being with us tonight. Scott, would you dismiss us in prayer this evening?
Yes, let's pray. God, we thank you for this time where we can pause our lives. Lord, where we can focus on how great you are, how much you love us. God, there's nothing we can do to earn your grace. God, it is a free gift that is offered to everyone. God, during this season, may we be reminded of the love that you have for us. God, the love to come and send your son Jesus to this earth for 33 years, to live a perfect life. God, to endure the cross, although he did not want to go through with it, Lord, there was no other way. God, during this season, remember the work that was done on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But God, as we remember Friday, Sunday's not far away. God, we thank you that Jesus Christ did not stay dead, Lord, but that he rose from the dead. And because of that, we have a relationship with you. God, I pray that you would create a hunger and a thirst in our congregation.
Yes.
And for those that are listening and watching, for a love for you.
Yes,
God. God, that you would give us a burden to tell our family, our friends, God, those that we know socially, God, that we would have a burden in our hearts to tell people that we have the cure for the disease that is sickness, the sickness that is sin. God, it's nothing we do on our own, but it's only through you. God, continue to bless the ministry of this church. Continue to bless the people that are listening and watching with health. God, protect our nation. Help this sickness to get over very soon. God, when that happens, we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, as always, if you have 37 and a half people in your house, hug them. And just remember, we love you.
We love you guys. See you this weekend.